text, and then I will outline to you how we are going to proceed this morning. Acts chapter 26, from verse 12 to verse 18. Everyone turn your Bibles there for me. Acts 26, verse 12 to verse 18. Verse 12 says, "Whereunto, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of these things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, last week, I'm going to review what we did last week in terms of the point. Listen very carefully. Now, last week, church, we spoke about the context, remember? The religious reality that existed when Christ came to this world. And the religious reality, as God saw it, was that there was a division in mankind. There was a division between, anybody remember how many divisions that God saw? So, yes, people all over their hands, you learned well. There were two main divisions in the world that was reality. And those were what? Anybody remember? Jews and Gentiles. You learned well. Right, so there were Jews and Gentiles. That's the reality of the world at that time. And we saw last week that God had a plan. God had a plan, Brother Mitchell, to bring those two, the Jews and Gentiles, not into two churches, not into three churches, not into four or five churches, but into how many churches? One body, one church. Then we realize now, what did Paul really teach? Did Paul teach that everybody can be in different denominations? Or did Paul teach about unity? We spoke about that last week, remember? We also said that we also examined Paul's declaration on unity. Listen carefully. Was it in agreement with Christ and the Father? What Paul said about unity, was it different from, or was it in sync, Fabian, with what the Christ and the Father won for the world? We examined that last week. Now, this week, we want to examine, Paul made certain beseechings, Paul made certain pleadings, Paul made certain warnings. Was Paul comfortable with denominationalism as we have it now? Or did Paul make certain warnings? What did he warn about? So that is what I didn't get to touch too much on that last week. So let's go back over again. The reality of the world in God's sight, two, Jews and Gentiles. What was the plan to deal with that? Did God just copy that plan just so? Or was it a plan that existed from eternity? It existed from eternity. What did Paul say about this unity. Is Paul's declaration of unity in line with, in agreement with Christ and his Father? In fact, Christ and his Father, we talk about the oneness. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? The oneness. So, we are going to examine today now to Paul's pleadings and warnings in relation to unity and doctrine. For those of you who are putting the title onto the web or wherever it go, it is called, What Did St. Paul Say About the Unity of the Church? What did the apostle say about the unity of the church, part two? Because part one was last week. Now, it's very important, church, listen carefully, that when somebody talks, we know who is the person that is talking. We can't listen to any or anybody. Am I right, church? The person must listen to, the person must have certain credentials or a certain qualification. So Paul tells us in Galatians 1 verse 1, everybody turn to it. Paul tells us in Galatians 1 verse 1, Vivian, he says, Paul, an apostle, not of what? Not of men, neither by man, but by whom? Jesus Christ. And God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul is telling us, even in his time in the Brother Mitchell, he had people who was doubting him, you know. In fact, this is not a lesson for today, but even today, there is scholarship, Michael, that talks about, that doubts what Paul, that Paul is really an apostle. Even today, there is scholarship that talks about that. But so Paul always had to say, Paul had to always prove, so to speak, that he was really and truly an apostle. So whatever Paul says has some weight. You all agree with that, Sister Anshad? Whatever Paul says must have some weight, because he says he did not get it from man. Neither was he taught it, but by revelation. We now are privy to the revelations that Paul wrote. So therefore, when you are out there in the world, looking on in the religious world, Brother Mitchell, preacher, listen, many, many years ago, I remember this lady, Sister Steele, you stand in the ways and you look. But you don't look and take what is in the ways. You go back now to see what is in the way, and you walk in it. So you must follow the revelation, the revealed scriptures. You can't just look around the world and say, okay, I'm born, I'm seeing Catholic Vivian, I'm seeing Baptist Church, I'm seeing, it must be right. All of them cannot be wrong. You can't use observation, Michael. You have to depend on revelation. That is what Paul is saying. He's saying that what he's talking about, he didn't get it from man. Your religion, what you believe, do you get it from man, or can you go to this and says it is here? That is a challenge. What did St. Paul say? St. Paul went further in Galatians chapter 1, if I turn to it, 11 and 12, and he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after what? Everybody see it in the Bible? You see, Sister Anshad? Is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we say man-made church, that's what I mean, you know. Man-made church means that they're getting their views and their doctrine from their opinion, from their man. And they might use a little verse from the Bible and so. That's man-made. Paul is saying the truth that he got was not from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we are privy to that revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter himself, the Apostle Peter, testified to Paul's apostleship. We looked at that last week, remember? And in 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16, he calls what Paul writes as scripture. So Paul's writing is scripture. So not just Paul alone say it, you know, Fabian, but Peter also testified what Paul said is scripture. So we have established, church, we're going step by step, you know, we have established that Paul is truly an apostle. What Paul says, Sister Anshad, has weight. Because he didn't get it from any man, but it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Sister Madison. Yes. So what Paul is saying is so true. What did St. Paul say? The common popular word that we addressed last week. People say, St. Paul said, everybody to what? It is what what? St. Paul said, everybody to his own order. Did St. Paul say that? Is that popular? Have you heard it, Brother Mitchell? That they say that St. Paul said, everybody to his own order. St. Paul, Sister Clooney, said no such thing. St. Paul never said, everybody to his own order. And that is why we went to see what St. Paul really said in that phrasing. And that phrasing was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you can read, when you go home, you can read for yourself from 12 to 24. We are only going to read a few verses here, starting at verse 22. Everybody turn your Bible, see for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What did St. Paul say? Did St. Paul say, everybody name one order? Vivian, please. I'm sure St. Paul never said any such thing on you. In verse 22, for as in Adam all what? Died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Is there any verse? Is there anything in that verse that talk about opinion? Different views? Different teachings? No. 23, but every man is in his own what? Order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. What is that talking about? Is that saying that St. Paul said, everybody free to do his own thing? St. Paul was talking about the resurrection. We spent a lot of time on that last week. 24, then came the end, then come the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall live, when he shall have put down all, what? Rule and all authority and power. St. Paul never said, everybody can do their own thing. St. Paul said no such thing. St. Paul's statement and declaration on unity are aligned with the will of God before the foundation of the world. This was revealed to him. Yes. The unity, the oneness of God was revealed to Paul. And Christ came. When Christ came to, and hit him down, you know, and that road to Damascus, and tell him against sin to the Gentiles. And we're going to talk about that very soon. That Paul, God revealed to Paul the concept of oneness. There was no longer going to be what? Jews nor Gentiles. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, and also verse 9 and 10. Everybody make sure you turn your Bibles there. I see some of you writing down. That is very, very good. I'm very pleased. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, and verse 9 and 10. In verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has what, church? Anybody see your Bible? According as he has what? Chosen what? Us. Jews and Gentiles, Brother Michel. He was writing to Gentiles in Ephesus. As he has chosen us in him. As a hurry come up, something went wrong and he started the church? No. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Denomination don't understand the church. Denominational ministers and denominational members don't understand the concept of the church. The church was not left up to man to start and run in a man. That's man-made. The church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And he only wanted what? How many? One church. So when I'm starting church all over the place, man, up here, they don't understand the concept of the church. When you are teaching them, take them to this passage. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Remember Sunday night last week? We're tying the will of God. The will of God also means the oneness. The oneness is in the will of God. The one church is in the will of God. Yes. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery, Brother Michel, of his will, when you are in denomination, you don't even understand this. You have not even begin to understand it. According to his good pleasure, which he had purpose in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in what? In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The divinity is oneness, Brother Mitchell. The divinity is oneness, it's unity. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2 now. Remember the mission that Paul got, you know. Let's go back to the mission again, Brother Rockoy, or anyone who read it. Go back to Acts chapter 26 for me. Let's go back to the vision. I can slowly and steadily read for me verse 18. He's giving Paul, Brother Mitchell, a mission on that road to Damascus. And it is still bound up with the oneness, you know. It is bound up with the oneness, the one church. Now, what did Christ tell Paul in verse 18? And I wrote them on the board with the kids, but I said, rub off. It's good. Okay, so I write this again. All right, read verse 18 for me now.
To open their eyes.
Textile me. To open their eyes. He sent them to where? To the Gentiles. Read the verse above, Chad. Sorry about that. Read the verse above.
To open their eyes.
The verse above.
Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee.
He's sending the apostle Paul, Brother Michel, to the Gentiles. And he's sending them to the Gentiles for a purpose. Am I correct? To open their what now? Continue now, Chad.
Open their eyes.
Yes.
And to turn them from darkness to light.
To turn them from. Because they were blind before. Now, Brother Michel, they were blind people. But God want them to turn them from what?
Darkness to light.
From darkness to light. Yes.
And from the power of Satan.
Turn them from power of Satan to what?
Unto God.
To God. So hold on a second. So Paul is going to do a number of things. He's going to, at his ministry, he's going to open their eyes. He's going to turn them from darkness to what? To light. He's going to turn them from the power of Satan to what? To God. So that they can get certain blessings. Continue. Read.
That they may receive forgiveness of sin.
Receive, watch this though, forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. Continue.
And inheritance.
They're going to receive a what? Inheritance.
Among them which are sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
By faith that is in me.
And the faith is in Christ. They're going to get inheritance. No, you tell me. Reason with me now, church. Reason with me, visitor. If God had something in his mind on him before the foundation of the world, to put Jews and Gentiles into one body, to the point that he enlisted Apostle Paul to go to them, is he going to give them all this blessing in 400 different churches? Talk to me. Okay, I might be too extravagant. Let me say then, 5 different churches. Yeah. 3 different churches. 2 different churches. Because 2 already exist, you know. So it could be reasonable. I said, okay then, Sister Antra, let me have 1 church for the Gentiles and 1 church for the Jews. Not even 2. How many? We let the back of us can't see this. 1 body, 1 church. He put the Jews and Gentiles into 1 church. No, if they're in 1 church, when they open their eyes, they're opening their eyes into 1 church. When they turn from darkness to light, the light going to be in the 1 church. When they turn from the power of Satan to God, they're going to be in the 1 church. Where are they going to get the forgiveness of sins? Talk to me. Where are they going to get inheritance? Talk to me. Where are they going to have the faith in Christ? Talk to me. In the 1 church, the 1 body, the 1 church. The Bible tells us, Sister Clooney, that the body is called the church. Am I correct, Fabian? Yes. Yes. So, all of this is not possible in denominations. It cannot be possible in denominations. So, we have seen that Paul then is in alignment. Paul got this mission, which was not an oracle mission in the church. It was there before the foundation of the world. But let us look now at Ephesians chapter 2. Last week, I think we read from 11 to 22. We only got to read 13 to 16. Look at verse 13. But no, everybody turn to it. Make sure you turn to it. Everybody turn to it. Ephesians chapter 2, 13 to 16. Everybody turn to it. Found it, everybody? Amen? Found it? Yes, amen. But now, he's addressing them, brother, he said, in Christ Jesus, they weren't near, were they? No. They were sometime what? Far off. Are made nigh by the blood of Christ. To come into 2 churches? To come into 3? To come into how many? 1. They are made nigh by the blood of Christ to come into 1 church. Verse 14. For he is of peace, who hath made what? Both 1. So I'm going to spend all him energy to turn only 2 into what? 1. And then go back. God can't do that and go back into 400, 500, 800 different churches. It's not possible. That's why the 405 different churches, they don't understand the concept of the church. They are man-made. They don't understand the concept of the church. For is our peace, what made both what? 1. And had broken down the middle wall of what? Partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh, brother Michel, the enmity. Even the law of commandment containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain. What the word twain mean? Anybody know? 2. To make in himself of twain, 1 new man, so making peace. Watch verse 16 now. Read verse 16 for me, child of Rakoi. Anyone have it? Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 2.
And that he might reconcile both.
Stop. Reconciliation is needed to get forgiveness of sin. Reconciliation is needed to get inheritance. Reconciliation is needed to have faith in Christ. Am I correct, church? That's how we reconcile to get forgiveness. So is he reconciling us now, Vivian? Talk to me. In 400 different churches? He's reconciling us into how many churches? 1 body. By the cross. Having slain the enemy thereby. That is what St. Paul said. Get back to that. No, that's what St. Paul said. St. Paul is talking about the unity of the church. St. Paul never said everybody is one other. No such thing. St. Paul is saying that there was Jew and Gentile, yes, a division. God don't want that. God wants how many? One church. That's what St. Paul said. So Uncle St. Paul go back to say, no, everybody knows one another. No such thing. No such thing. Let us see now if St. Paul, because we're still at last weekend, we don't come to this weekend. Let us see if St. Paul is in agreement with the Godhead, with Christ and the Father. It's not the passage, them butcher, brother Richard. Them butcher this one. Them butcher this one. Turn to John 10, verse 16 for me. John chapter 10 and verse 16. Everybody find it? Say amen. You find it? Read it. And other sheep. Brother Richard, you know how them butcher this one. And it's saying the complete opposite of what they claim it is saying. Complete opposite. So Paul is agreeing with Christ. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I will keep, make them stay by themselves. They say that. Them also I was what? Did he say I may bring them? Must, is a must, is a must if they're going to get these things. That you tell Paul in Acts 26. What are they going to get, church? Receive forgiveness, huh? And in faith in. If they're going to get those things, like Clooney, he must bring them. He must bring them, which I must bring. But listen to the part that we normally ignore. Read that part for me, Chad. When it says, I must bring. After that little phrase for me. Family?
Them also I must bring.
Yes.
And they shall hear my voice.
Stop, yes, man. Stop. That is so important. Last week, Sunday night, no. I didn't talk about in the morning. But this needs to talk about. So, you know, some people, Brother Richard, said them have a vision. And somebody talked to them last night. You know the thing. No, in this verse, Christ says, the people who are going to be in the one body, they do what? You can read it from where you are. They hear what? My voice. Christ's voice is not Ellen G. White's voice. Christ's voice is Christ's voice. It is only when he brings them, you know, the condition is that they're going to hear his voice. Just like oh, your Christ says, my church. My church, the church belongs to who? My voice, the voice belongs to who? Thank you. And other sheep are up, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice. When they hear his voice, Brother Michelle, that's when there will be the one fold and the one shepherd. You can't listen to another voice and have the Church of Christ. It's impossible. Impossible. You have to hear my voice, Christ's voice. Me, you're going to listen to Christ's instructions. And then it says, there shall be how many fold? So what did I say, why? One fold, one body, one church. One fold. And how many shepherds for the fold? One shepherd, one founder, one head, Christ. So when they use this passage to support the denominationalism, it doesn't have a leg to stand on. Because it's saying completely opposite to what they are saying, because they don't understand that Christ came into a reality when there are Jews and what? Gentiles, and he's going to bring them into one. Christ's prayer, you know, somebody prayed is so important. Christ's prayer, Brother Mitchell, in John 17, 22, is saying what Paul says. In John 17, 22, everybody turn it for me. John 17, 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I teach a lesson when we had the COVID, how the glory and the unity combines. One day I'll also talk with you. And the glory, which thou what? Gavest me. What did he say, Brother Michel? He keep the glory from them. I've given them. But is he going to give it to a whole heap of different people? Christ is praying earnestly that they may be what? Two?
No. One.
That they may, that's Christ's prayer, no? That they may be what? But listen this now. Listen this part, child. Read this part for me, child. The last part of that 22. That verse 22.
And the world may know.
No, the last part of 22. The very last part.
As thou hast loved me. Wait. That they may be one.
Right, you had the right chat though.
Even as we are one.
Oh, Lord, right there, sir. It's better, Michelle. I get excited though, because that phrase of Michael is talking about oneness come from God. Oneness come from God. The nature of the divinity is oneness. They are going to be one even as we are one. The same way we are one, they are going to be one. That's why the Bible says, you know, one God, one Father, one Christ, one Holy Spirit, one church. Even as we are one, they may be one the same way we are one. It is possible. The denominational world will tell you it's not possible. It is possible. They may be one even as we are one. So, we now see, I like to always go back, you know, I like to teach, so I like to go back to what I said before. We can listen to Paul. Why? Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Certified apostle. He could do things that the apostles could do. Am I right, Brother Michelle? Yes. Peter testified that his writings are like scripture. You don't want more than that, you know. And Paul, though, did not say everybody in the world. Paul was addressing the resurrection. Paul says the one body. Paul says to the Gentiles, God has put us all in one body so that we can get all of these things. Don't be deceived by your denominational friend, who's a nice person, genuine person, go to church probably more than some of us, but they are not getting these things, because these things are only accessible in how many churches? One. The quiet discomfort over there. Let me say it again. They are nice people, but it's for us to teach them. They are nice people, you know, committed and genuine, but they are in denominations, but so they are not getting these things because they are not in the one church. They not get it. Right? Say it straight up. Brother Richard, they can't get it because they're not in the one church. The Bible says it. So what did Paul for today know? I get to reach today. When somebody beseech you on him, so when the Bible said I would ask question. The concept of beseeching somebody or pleading with somebody is a concept of begging the person to do something. Am I correct? Am I right, Fabian? You beseech somebody, do this, do this. Don't do this, but do this. You are beseeching somebody. You're pleading with somebody. Or also, when you're warning, when you're warning somebody, you're alerting the person that there's a danger. Am I right? There's a danger. Or some evil. So what did Paul warn against? What did St. Paul really say? St. Paul warned against some things. We have to see what did St. Paul warn against. What did St. Paul plead for is very important. So when you teach the person Michael, and they say to you, St. Paul say, everybody is one order. I mean, that thing always gets me just a cloudy. I wouldn't say it. And they believe it, you know, St. Paul, and they know, no. That is ignorance. Ignorance to the lowest. Because St. Paul is going to warn us about certain things. And St. Paul is going to plead with us for certain things. Let us see what St. Paul knows. We read this passage last week. But because I was in quite a rush to finish, that was a one lesson, I didn't put in the concept, or you must teach it. You must teach this, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to show them that St. Paul's, because the vision is essentially evil and wrong, you are warned against it. Follow me? You are warned against it. You are pleading to be warned. So you are warned against it. You don't warn somebody against something that is okay. If you have a dog at your house, although you can't really trust dog, but say you have a dog at your house and the dog is of no use. You can't even put up a beware of dog side because the dog doesn't really show anybody. But if you have a vicious dog, you're going to make sure you put the beware of that dog. Am I correct? Because some danger is there. So St. Paul is going to warn us about a danger that we have to warn people about. St. Paul said in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, St. Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren." What did he say? "I beseech you." She's earnest pleading, you know. This is begging, Brother Michelle. "I beseech by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all do what?" Hold a second for me. I need the board up here, so. Not only is there oneness, but I'm saying not only is there oneness, because when I say, "Oh yeah, we are one, but we talk different things, but we are one." No, not only is there oneness, there is sameness. There is sameness, not only oneness, but sameness. So St. Paul is going to beseech you, plead with us, that we follow certain things. Hear him now. St. Paul said, "Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must all speak the what? Different things? You sure what St. Paul said? No. St. Paul said, you must speak the same thing. That's what St. Paul said. And that there be what? And that there be what? No denominations. If you have denomination, you know? That there be no denominations among you. That you be perfectly joined together. It is possible. It is possible to be perfectly joined together if you follow the revelation and not follow the observation. Right, Michael? Joined together in the what? Same what? Same mind. And in the what? Here comes again. You can't get too much of it, Brother Michelle. Same judgment. Not only oneness, but sameness. Yes. "For it has been declared unto me of my brethren by the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you." God is not the author of confusion, you know. That's not his nature. "Now this I say," that's what St. Paul said. No, that's what he says. And he said in an affirmative way, you know. "Now this I say." Don't turn a lie upon me. This is what I say. "Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or are you baptized in the name of Paul? St. Paul was against divisions. St. Paul never said about his own order. St. Paul was against divisions. So St. Paul plead against it. St. Paul is always affirming for the oneness and saying no division. That's what St. Paul said. Titus 1, 13 to 14, verse 13. Everybody turn to it for me, please. We are looking at what St. Paul said about doctrine. Doctrine. What did St. Paul say about doctrine? Remember, you know, everything St. Paul getting, you know, in, you know, get it from man, you know. Whom get it from church? Get it from Christ, from God. The first experience of Abbas on the road to Damascus. And Christ telling him that he's going to get further revelation. And him get further revelation. And he talk about the Galatians and other passages. Listen to Titus 1, 13 and 14. Everybody find it? Find it? Find it? This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply. That they may just go along saying of them faith. It says so. You know, just take a faith anyway. It says that. They may be what? Sound in the faith. So there is an expectation from Christ that we be what? Sound in the faith. Sound means that there's no flaw in the faith. That we may be sound in the faith. When you are sound in the faith, you not give heed to certain things. Look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish what? Fables. Fables are the opposite of truth. And commandments of what? Men. Commandments of men is the opposite of commandments of God. Am I correct? And they will turn you from the truth. That's what verse 14 says. Read verse 14 for me, Chad. Or anybody who have it. Titus 1, verse 14. In fact, read the 13 and the 14.
This witness is true.
Yes.
Wherefore, rebuke them sharply.
Yes.
That they may be sown in the faith.
Stop. That's what St. Paul said. That people rebuke sharply, that they may be sown in the faith. That's what St. Paul said. Verse 14.
Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
These things will turn from the truth. That's what St. Paul said. Let's hear Titus 2, verse 1.
But speak thou the things which become sown doctrine.
That's what St. Paul said. You said, I repeat it? Because what is drilling your head in? That St. Paul never said no foolishness about everybody's own order. I want me to leave here. You remember that phrase that St. Paul said. St. Paul said, we must speak the things which become what? Sound doctrine. St. Paul believe in sound doctrine. St. Paul teach and preach about doctrine. They said doctrine don't matter. St. Paul talk about doctrine. Who get it from? Christ. That's what St. Paul said. But look at 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3. It said, everybody find it? Find it quickly. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh what? Expressly. That in the latter time, so we know what, something will happen. Some shall depart from the faith. When you depart from the faith, you can't still stay in the faith, you know. You can't depart from faith and still be in the faith. When you depart from the faith, you're going to go to something else. Giving heed to seducing what? Spirits. And doctrines of devils. Even if you're in a church preaching, you know, even if you're in a church jumping up and down, you know, once it is not the one church. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience what? Seared with a hot iron. These are the things they are going to teach, Brother Michelle. And you know certain churches that teach that. Forbidding to what? Marry. Commanding to abstain from what? Meats. Which God has created to be received of thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. St. Paul teaches sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 4. Read that one for me, Chad. 2 Timothy 4 reads from verse 1 through to verse 4. What verse 1 says?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressively.
2 Timothy. I charge thee. He started by saying what? I charge you. Child, that's a strong word, no, Vivian. Am I correct? That's a strong word. I'm giving you an instruction now. I'm charging you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. What must we do, church? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. I mean, just galangso. It says that? Just galangso, like. It says that? I'm sure it said. No. And what? Doctrine. Them say doctrine no matter. St. Paul said doctrine matter. For the time will, you know why doctrine matter? For the time will come when they will not endure it. They will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Not just any other doctrine, no. It must be sound. But after their own what? Lusts. Shall they heap themselves, teachers having what? Itching ears. You see when that happened? You will turn your way their ears. Listen how you, Brother Bishop, Peter said already once, use your ears wisely. Because you will turn your ears away from the truth. And once you turn away from truth, you cannot be remain in the truth. You turn away from truth, shall be turned onto what now? Fables. Can fables give you forgiveness of sins? Can fables give you an inheritance? Can fables give you faith in Christ? So we are doing a denomination. What you're doing in denomination? Denomination don't understand the concept of the church. That's why Paul had to preach the way he did. And that's why he said in Galatians 1, 6 through to verse 10. Everybody turn your Bibles with, please. Because even in his day, you know, Brother Michelle, they wanted to turn away from the truth. You know? And he said, Paul was so shocked. He said, I marvel that you are so soon what? Removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But Paul knew that there cannot be another. And he says it. Which is not another. But there be some that would trouble you and would what? Pervert. If you leave the gospel, you want to go to a perverted gospel. Can a perverted gospel get you forgiveness of sins? Can a perverted gospel give you inheritance? Can a perverted gospel give you faith in Christ? It doesn't matter what you say. Listen to what St. Paul said in the scriptures. Don't tell St. Paul something he did not say. Go to the scripture and see what he actually said. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you. Did St. Paul talk about Baptist church, by the way? Did St. Paul mention Catholic, Anglican, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness? So where did I come from? St. Paul said, if you preach any other gospel, let him be what? A curse. That's what St. Paul said. Verse 9, as we said before, you hear the pleadings? You're picking up the pleadings? You're picking up the affirmations? Yes. As I said before, so say I know what? Again. Sometimes you need repetition, you know. That's why Brother Michelle asked me, you know, to speak again. I said, well, I speak about this already. But repetition. As a teacher, I believe in repetition, Brother Michelle. So, Brother Paul, I believe me to him. I'm going to say it again. Don't tell a lie for me. I'm going to say it again. And if I send it back to his one order, I'm going to say it again. What am I going to say again? If any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. That is what I say again. St. Paul said that. And St. Paul said, he is not persuading men or God. For do I not persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? No. I have not pleased men. I will not be the servant of God. And St. Paul said that everywhere. 1 Corinthians 4:17, as I teach everywhere in every church. St. Paul said it everywhere, in every church. And every church here means every congregation of the Lord's church. Church, I hope that this lesson benefited you. I'm going to summarize it. And as the people writing down, yes, it is a good lesson you can use to teach, because people talk about St. Paul's self kind of foolishness. No. So remember now, the world was divided into how many? Two. God only wanted what? One. This plan was a plan from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, that all Jews and Gentiles were going to be in one. Christ gave a hint of it in John 10, where he said, I must bring them into the one fold. And he talks about in his prayer that they all may be one, even as we are one. St. Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ, who got the revelation from Christ himself, agree with the oneness of God. And he says, he tells them that they were reconciled into how many bodies? One body. Into the one body, which is the church of Christ. He also pleaded and he begged for the oneness, and he warned against the division. It is clear what St. Paul has said. And is it, Michael, get ready. It is clear what St. Paul has said. And it is clear that St. Paul was following revelation. And what is written, we must follow it. Because if we want forgiveness of sin, it's in the one church. If we want an inheritance, it's in the one church. Faith in Christ is in the one church. God doesn't know anything about denominations. Paul preached against denominations. I hope this lesson will help you. Use it to teach others. Michael.